Food, film, and music. Some of our greatest loves in life. Welcome to Seems to Me with your co-hosts, Sibeline Sariano and Steve Ricardo.
Hey!
Okay, there we go.
Hi. Hey.
This is the first time we've done video, so we're
yeah,
a
I was shaky. Just gonna say, this is our first video podcast. So now you're gonna get to see our personalities behind the voices.
And you're glammed right. out for it, man. You're glammed out.
Like in a split second, I just glammed it up just a
from the gym smidge. To the glam.
Him to the glam. Whoa. From the gym. I'm writing that down.
Oh, for people out there listening, I'm sorry. You're probably wondering what the fuck we're talking about right now, but we're going to be on YouTube now. We're big stars now.
Jazz hands.
Oh, that's Sibeline Sariano. I'm Steve Ricardo. She was supposed to introduce us. She didn't. It's okay, though. It's okay. It's all okay.
This is all new. I'm not used to looking at myself and you when we talk. Like, I'm distracted now.
We went from sex tapes to, like, hit record.
We just were talking about Tommy Lee's dick pic that I sent to Steve last week.
Why?
Because somebody sent it to me and I was like, what? How did I miss this? Like, months ago, Tommy Lee comes out with like an Instagram dick pic. I mean, not a very flattering dick pic, if you ask me. And like, I don't know, like he posted that picture of himself, right?
Let me just say this. I've seen many dicks in my life. We all have. And I don't think his dick's that great. I mean, it's okay, but
I didn't want to suck it. That's for sure.
It wasn't anything special. I mean, it was like, it's a little large, but a little above average.
You think that he would have a long schlong,
I mean, when you think of, I'm not going to say women just went out with him for his big dick, but he's the drummer of Motley Crue,
I'm sure he knows what to do with his big dick. I'm sure he knows what to do with it.
Yeah, this was not on the script, by the way.
This was definitely not on the script. Okay, so what have you been up to? What have you been up to, Steve?
Well, last night I had a great night. I'm a little out of it today, but New Alliance had a new show last night, the New Alliance Gallery in Somerville. Alvin Long, good friend, Alvin, he was not well for a while, but he's back on the map now.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear.
Big show last night. I'm sorry?
He had leukemia?
Yes. And, but he had an art show last night, but there were like 8 artists there, not just him, but a lot of people came because they knew he was going to be there. And it turned out to be a star-studded rock and roll event with a lot of cool rock people, and I didn't stay late, but I had a good time while I was there. I was there for about an hour. I was there all day, but I only stayed an hour after a lot of people showed up. It's kind of still weird for me.
His show, or was it a group show?
It was a group show, but a lot of people were there to see Alvin.
Oh, that's awesome. I had known I would have come or tried to. I'm in packing hell, so maybe I wouldn't have been able to come, but.
And you're only up to probably moving.
What is that?
And you're basically only up to moving, so you don't really have much time for other things, right?
No. Right now I'm literally trying to pack this house so that I can stage it properly, so it doesn't have a bunch of clutter in it. So it's just like as vanilla as possible. We're going to get it on the market by next Wednesday. We take pictures, so she's going to post the pictures on Thursday. We're doing open house Saturday and Sunday, and then private showings on Friday and broker showings on Thursday. And come hell or high water, I have to be done, and I'm getting there. But I'll tell you, I mean, I'm trying to purge as I pack this house instead of carrying this shit with me for one more time. I'm definitely not somebody that can let go of things very easily. And maybe this is part of the mental health conversation that we'll talk about today. I don't, I'm not a hoarder in any way, but I like things and I like to collect things, whether it's antiques, vintage clothes. I like pretty things. So I have lots and lots of clothes. I'll tell you, it's over fucking whelming to pack a house and move. Anyway, that's where I'm at. And I wish I had been at New Alliance having fun with a bunch of cool hip people, but maybe I've lost literally the last month and a half. So
it'll be worth it for you though.
It will. Today is a good day. Today I have plasterers at the new house fixing walls. And then I have my friend's brother, who is a general contractor, who's framing off a room in our basement so that Ilias can have a room in the basement where he can live, because he's basically been an integral part of helping me get my house, in showing condition, the painting things and doing this and doing that. So it's we're making progress, but it feels like it's been forever and a day. So blah blah blah.
The other thing I want to recommend to you you and for our listeners is to check out the David Bowie documentary. Amazing.
David Bowie documentary. I just dropped my pen.
It's you have to see it in an IMAX theater. The sound is incredible. The visuals are incredible. It's called Moon Age Daydream, and it's a really cool documentary. And it's mostly just Bowie talking the whole time for like 2 hours. It's really all the different stages of his career. I highly recommend it.
Definitely want to see that. Wow.
You'll love it. The fashion is just over the top.
I'm sure. And Iman and
he's a fashion icon, man, David Bowie.
He really is. He really, really is. He's, I mean, androgyny and David Bowie are synonymous to me.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
He was the first non-binary person, if you ask me, like in the mainstream, right?
Absolutely. Ziggy Stardust took it over the top for sure.
Interesting, you know, because he did identify as both man and woman, didn't he?
Well, he's bisexual. I mean, and he would wear dresses and stuff. And when he first came to America, he would wear dresses. And I've read a couple of different books, and his sex life, it didn't, until he met the love of his life, even though he was married to Angie for a long time, until he met Iman, he was like, he could be with a man or a woman, and it didn't seem to matter to him.
So did he kind of commit to a woman after meeting Iman?
No, Iman was basically his commitment. When he was
What I'm saying. Did he commit to being with
one
woman after that?
Yeah, I think they had a monogamous relationship after that, according to what I've read. Before that, though, probably
wasn't. But okay.
Before that, I don't think right. So. Angie Bowie, that was. It's weird when you see that they were married for 10 years, because I don't know what was going on between them.
Ever have kids?
You always ask me questions that I don't have the answers for, but I can look that up because I have my phone in my hand.
Don't worry
People can see what we're doing now. There's no secrets about what's going on behind the scenes at all. So I want to say yes, but there was no discussion of that in the documentary. It was mostly about him and his, like a lot about his painting and things like that, how they showed a lot of his art. He's got 2 children, but it only lists one here, Duncan Jones. It doesn't list who the other one is. And it doesn't even say who the mother is. So he was married to Jen from 70 to 80. And then he married Iman in 92 until he passed away. So
they were 100% committed to each other for that amount of time.
Yes.
That's because he just passed away, what, in
18 years ago. Yeah, it was very sad. We lost a lot of good ones. Prince, Bowie. It was a really weird period.
That was a weird year, man. That was like just so many people. So many. Right?
Yeah. So, hey, we're going to talk about mental health, but I just want to say that a couple people asked me about some of my things that I talked about last week. And I know I came across as a completely, you know, crazy person at times, possibly. But, you know, it's just, hey, listen, saying that you're fucked up publicly is not an easy thing to do. I'm glad I did it because I know where my problems are and I know how to fix them. But I don't want anyone out there to think that I'm like suicidal or anything like that.
I didn't get that impression. Did somebody else get that impression?
It doesn't matter what they think. It's just that's not the way it is. I mean, I'm pretty happy with my life. I just struggle with OCD and, you know, anxiety and, you know, and that's why I did this, you know, that brain assessment thing that I sent you, because my therapist, not my therapist, but my psychologist recommended checking out this Dr. Daniel Amen guy, which I did. And I listened to his podcast and then I did a brain assessment and it was really valuable information. And I highly recommend it. You can go to brainhealthassessment.com. Did you do it?
I actually haven't yet, Steve, not because I didn't want to. I really honestly haven't dedicated any time to anything other than packing.
You've been busy.
And, you know, I would like to. And I've actually been doing my own mental health processing of something that, so I really couldn't handle much more than what I've been processing myself. So, which I will.
You want to talk about that? No, there's
so,
no crying in podcasts. I stole that because it should have been baseball. But there's no crying in podcasts.
I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. So I have this wonderful therapist that I've been working with, a new therapist that I've been working with. And she's based in California and we do phone calls. And I pay out of pocket for her, pay full price out of pocket. And it's worth every penny because she has really brought to light me some things about myself that in the previous 19, 20 years that I've been with a different therapist, and has really, I don't know, really made me look in the mirror on some things that perhaps I discussed with my other therapist, or I don't know, you know, every therapist has a different way that they come at things, right? Like I got through with my previous therapist and never ended up going on medication, was able to like curb my anxiety and my fears through her every week. Like I think therapy is a number one in just
I agree.
Being able to process life, right? Like, no. Okay. So one of the things that a friend of mine said to me, when you train for a marathon, I'm sorry, when you run a marathon, you train for it, right? You learn skills on how to do it. You learn how to breathe. You learn how to, you know, build your muscles. Well, we need training on how to get through mental health and life. And so many people poo-poo and therapists. And it's like, well, shame on them, because really at the end of the day, it's what has helped me through so many highs and lows in my life. And as we discussed over the last few weeks, like I did go on medication because I was in a hole and I was told, listen, you're in a hole. You feel the way you do because of this. And this medication will help you come out of that deep, dark place. And then maybe because you've been able to get through life before without medication, but you know, our bodies change and, you know, like I'm not like pro, you know, popping a pill for curing things. I'm definitely about finding the root cause. So that leads me to this. So my therapist brought up the fact that there is something called AA, which is called Sex and Love Addiction Anonymous. Or Sex and Love, Addicts Anonymous. And I wouldn't say I'm a sex addict in any way, shape, or form, but she was concerned that perhaps I was a love addict, which means it's like codependency, love. Like, it means I need love to feel complete. I need somebody to be interested in me to make me feel like I'm worth enough, right? So I went on YouTube and I started listening to a lot of people's stories. I will say that a lot of stories, abuse at home, it starts with addiction at home. You know, a lot of these people have had alcoholic, drug addict parents. You know, they didn't have the proper, you know, love, affection at home. There was something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can relate to all that. I definitely can relate to all that. But in hearing a lot of these stories, it's like anonymous sex. It's sex. It's sex. It's like, I didn't care who I was having sex with. I'd get drunk and shit-faced. And then I'd had sex and sex and sex. And I was like, yeah, no, that's not me. I don't identify with it. But in hearing these stories from most people, part of, you know, already a 12-step program, realize that they have other issues too, whether it's alcoholism, drug addiction, eating, OCD, you know, a lot of other attributes. And where I did connect was not with anorexia and not with bulimia, because I've seen that firsthand with friends, and I do not do those things. I can't stick my finger down my throat up, but I used to definitely eat to a point where I would be so full, I wanted to lie on the couch and be disgusted with myself. And so, but that I remember associating afterwards with my gluten intolerance. And so if I ate a sandwich, I would get to a place where I was so full, I felt like my food was like up to my throat, and I just felt awful. But as soon as I heard people talking about bitch eating, I was like, shit, I can identify with that. And I am an emotional eater and I binge eat.
You know, I think I have the same problem at night. I sometimes start eating and I can't stop eating. It's like, and it's weird because it's like, since I went through the transformation of quitting alcohol and everything, I lost all that weight. I'm not gaining a lot of weight back. I mean, I've gained like 3 pounds of it maybe back in like, you know, months, but I do at night. I can't stop eating after I eat dinner. I usually look for potato chips, peanuts, muffins, whatever else. And I always feel totally too full. And, yeah, I mean, I can totally understand the sex and love addiction thing. You know, I mean, I don't really feel like I'm addicted to either, but I definitely have codependency, and OCD is my big thing, though. You know, I get too focused on things and I can't stop thinking about them. It could be anything. It could be food. You know, it could be, you know, an ex-girlfriend. It could be someone I met. It could be the guy across the street that plowed into my car that always is coming 2 inches from it. And I'm constantly looking out the window waiting for him to hit my car again. You know, it could be anything, you know, it's just,
is that what OCD is? It's just, yeah, like just constantly.
Yeah. I just, you know, things. Some people like in my family, the house has to be completely spotless at all times. That's not one of my problems. My problem is I'll focus on a certain thing and I can't get off of it. And I become obsessed with it. Obsessive disorder, you know, and that's exactly what happens to me. It could be a person. It could be like finding something. It could be my podcast. It could be anything. I get really obsessed with things. And then I just, you know, can't stop. you know.
You know what's interesting, and I just want to jump in here, because to me, what OCD always meant, and I think what they show on the movies a lot, is that person that goes 1, 2, 3, I got to open the doorknob. I have to walk over there 10 steps and I have to count my 10 steps. Like, that's what I've always associated OCD with, not necessarily the things that you just spoke of. And I can relate to that too. Like, I definitely get obsessed with a person. I can definitely get, you know, okay, like right now, like I'm obsessed with the fact that I have to purge things and I have to organize everything. Everything has to have a place. And I can't finish this move until it's like that, you know? And people have been helping me pack boxes and I'm like, I have to redo that.
Like, you do it. Yeah. You definitely may not know this, but you definitely have OCD in many ways. I can tell that you do. You know, you definitely get obsessed about things and you can't like you were and it's not always bad, because the way you acted about your gallery, you were completely obsessed with that. And it worked in a positive way until the place flooded. You know, up until that point, you were really focused on it. I just want to mention to
our listeners
out there, though, that we're having this discussion for you people. It might sound like we're talking about ourselves, because Sibylline and I talk about this privately, but we're actually trying to help you people out there. So you'll know that everyone has issues, and everyone has, like, whether it's anxiety, depression, binge eating, sex addiction, gambling addiction. We all have to deal with this shit. And we're just trying to help you by letting you know our problems. And, you know, that we understand that everyone has these problems.
Yeah. I mean, what we started with earlier when we talked before the show, I think I've been doing a lot of self-work. I've done a tremendous amount since, you know, my separation and my divorce. And reading, you know, to me, self-help means, like, you know, reading The Secret. I mean, I have it sitting here on the goddamn kitchen counter, because at any given moment, I need to open up the page and remind myself the spiritual substance which comes all visible wealth is never depleted. It is right with you all the time and responds to your faith in it. On it. I mean, I don't know what the hell that means right now, but I'm going to process it in a few minutes and go, oh yeah, okay, that's what that means. I need these reminders right now in my life to stay focused and stay positive. And I think the other week that I've been really mourning this relationship, the ending of a relationship in my life. And I have been all the fucking time. And I told him yesterday, I'm like, I am so tired of crying, but I feel like I got left behind. Like, and I'm saying to you, honestly, like, he didn't check all my boxes. I knew he was going to get an arranged marriage. Like, we went into this relationship, I knew that I wasn't going to be, I know that in a lot of ways, he didn't fit the bill of my forever person. But I'm wildly attracted to him. And I don't feel like I had an end to it. Like, I don't remember our last intimate moment for some reason. Like, it's literally gone out of my mind. And I've gotten, like, kind of maybe, I mean, I can't say obsessed, but, like, I've just, it's taken over my.
It's an obsession.
Yeah, maybe.
It is. Not that I'm a capable therapist. I've been like that with women. It's just rough when something ends, but you don't really feel like it should have ended and you can't let go of it. It can take over your mind.
That's where I'm at. And it's killing me. It's distracting.
We were going to talk about this, so I'm going to just kind of start segueing into it, because my psychologist was telling me about functional mental health, which is functional medicine, which means you're not taking medicine. It's all about what you're putting in your body, and it's about the food you're putting in.
Yes.
And I did do a little research, and I'm telling you that what they say about omega-3s and seafood is straight on. I mean, it's like, I found out that mackerel, which I don't think I've ever even eaten, because I think I tried it once and I didn't like it. It's supposedly, according to many experts, the healthiest thing you can eat. It's healthier than salmon as far as not healthiest thing you can eat, but as far as the omega-3s go, it's way high on the list. Brain food. It's right. A heavy form of brain food. I eat a lot of salmon now and I never used to, but I got to try salmon mackerel again after hearing that. I guess sardines, anchovies, those are really good for you. They taste like eating a tablespoon of salt, if you ask me. But, you know, supposedly this is like good brain food.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I just started taking a probiotic and a prebiotic. And I can tell you right now that these addicts, I totally fell victim to like a, you know, Instagram ad or Facebook ad or whatever. And I was like, I have some of those. But I feel amazing on these things and it's moved my digestive system really well. It's like, you need to start your day with these things. 30 minutes later, you can have coffee. I'm trying really hard to do that. You know, I assume that there's probably some omega stuff in there. I'm looking at but I'm going to go check it out. But anyway, probiotics and prebiotics go hand in hand with omegas for mental and physical health. And like going back to the whole binge eating thing, I don't do it all the time, but I absolutely do it at night. When for me, it's the trigger. I sit on the couch to watch a show, fold some laundry, and now I'm hungry. Even if I'm not hungry, I'm hungry. I want the crunch, like you said, then I want the sugar, then I want the crunch, then I want the sugar. And I am embarrassed to admit how much I can put in my body at that moment.
And you're not even a weed smoker like me. Imagine being high and getting the munchies, what it's like. That's what happens to me.
It's very dangerous for me, Steve. I don't smoke for that very reason in a lot of ways. I always get the munchies when I smoke. And it's definitely for me Inca more than it is sativa. Indica, so if I have sativa or indica, sorry, whatever. You can tell that I'm not a pot smoker if I'm coming up with not knowing the terms. But if I smoke sativa, I don't do it alone and I don't do it, you know, unless I am out like listening to music or hanging out with friends, you know, people that smoke, I'll join you. But I don't smoke.
You're not like me. I smoke every day at like 5 o'clock, some days earlier, you know, just because I need it for my anxiety, you know.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with people who say that it's not addicting. And
it is, it's addictive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like
I'm addicted to it.
Those of you who say, oh, I don't do it because it's not addictive, fuck that shit. It's
the thing that
people do.
Yeah, the thing I don't agree with is calling it a gateway drug. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's a gateway drug. I think it's more like something that you get hooked on, like cigarettes, because I smoked cigarettes for like 30 years, you know? So, I mean,
I
know.
I did.
Yeah, I quit in 2009. I was smoking, I think, when we first met.
I don't ever remember that about you.
I was I didn't smoke a lot. I was really good. Like I never smoked in the morning and I tried to have no more than 8 cigarettes a day. It was unless I was out drinking. But I think at one point when I met you, I was going through one of my non-drinking phases, which I've done many times. I've been up and down. This time I hope I'm done for good. But, you know, like last night I was a little uncomfortable. There's a lot of people drinking and I'm feeling a little antsy there, you know, but I didn't have a drink.
Good for you. It's not easy. For me, it would be like if there was a ton of shitty foods and I just wanted to dive right in, I don't not be able to not do it. And that's a hard thing with food addiction, if you ask me, is like we need food to live, right? We don't need alcohol to live. And we don't need marijuana to live necessarily. And it's this fine line of eating to satiate or eating to live, right? Like eating to fill your body with the right, but you give me some ranch dressing and some vegetables and I might have more ranch on that vegetable. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you're funny. I think water is a thing that I need to do more of. I don't think I drink enough water. I have to force myself.
You know
myself.
How much water you're supposed to drink in a day?
A lot.
You're supposed to your weight and divide it in half, and that's how many ounces of water you should have in a day. So
80 ounces? Wow. I weigh 160.
Yep.
80 ounces?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So you, then you divide that into cups. 80 ounces, so there's 12
ounces. That's
like
six glasses or something. That's not too much.
Exactly. There you go.
Should be able to do that. I'm not very good at my math. I think I'm close, but
yeah, that's about right. I mean, just get, you know, get obsessed about water.
Six times 12 is 36, 72. Yeah.
Technically a cup is
seven glasses, right? Seven glasses about. No, you know what? Let's not do the math.
10 glasses, I think.
Let's not do the math. People are laughing at us right now, okay? There's people
out
there. 8 ounces
in a cup.
You don't know what the fuck 12 times 6 is, Steve. I don't know.
Wait, 8 ounces is one cup.
Oh, eight. See, I thought it was 6 ounces.
Oh, Jesus. He needs to do some kitchen. I just threw away my little.
Shut up, Steve, and drink more water.
10 glasses of water a day. But, you know, you go get one of these type of things. And I mean, I've already now today had, what is this, 12? So this must be 16 ounces. So I've had 16 ounces already. And I'm going to try to refill this a hand more. Okay, that is our new thing, Steve. Let's drink more water together.
This is my problem right here. And if you're listening, I'm sorry you don't see this, but I'm holding up a glass of iced tea because I'm an iced tea fanatic. I can't stop.
What is that problem?
It dehydrates you from what I understand, drinking a lot of tea.
Is it full of caffeine? Is that caffeinated?
This is black tea, but this is a weird one. It's Jarlene. I can never say it right.
Jarlene.
You're not supposed to pronounce the D, I don't think.
Darjeeling.
With a lot of lemon in it. I like lemon.
All right. So cut that with like lemonade or water or something, and then you're filling yourself with. I know that would be
making
very
faces
delicious.
Now. We're gonna have to explain to our listeners now all our movements because we're on Zoom.
So
either that or go to YouTube and watch us on YouTube. Okay.
So paleo. So we were gonna talk about paleo diets as well as whatchamajiggers.
Keto.
Keto, that's right. Keto and then macro. I think you said macrobiotics.
I don't know anything about any of these diets. I'm going to be honest with you. I need to research this stuff more. And I know I need to eat better, but this Dr. Amen guy that I listen to, AMEN, he's talking about getting rid of rice and potatoes and all the carbs, you know? And you know what? I'm heavy on rice and potatoes. So I don't know how I'm going to do that.
I think that you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Right now, you need those because you don't know how else to eat. And so I think being paralyzed around food is worse than eating something that they're telling you. I still think that rice and potatoes come from the ground, and therefore it is better for you than eating a processed piece of bread with high fructose corn syrup.
That's the thing I got to get out of my diet, bread. I was on the gluten-free bread for a while, but then I found out that sourdough didn't bother me.
Right.
So now
we
I eat like sourdough
this.
All the time, which I love, by the way. But I think I'm going to go back to gluten-free bread. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I think maybe that's why I gained 3 pounds. Can you imagine that I'm worrying about 3 pounds when I'm like in the
Dude, I can gain 3 motherfucking pounds in a day, motherfucker. Like shit. I mean, those of us women who have our cycles still, I will fluctuate 7 to 9 pounds just from my cycle.
Wow. That's crazy. Or can I say that's cray cray? I don't know. I don't know why I said that, but maybe we should
7 to 9 pounds.
You know what? Maybe, maybe we should, or I know I need to, do a little more research on those two diets and then come back. Because I like the idea of the direction our show's going in with the mental health and what we can do to make ourselves better. Because all of this other stuff is fun, music, film, fashion. But if we don't feel good and we're not healthy, it's like, that's really, it's something that I'm glad that we're focusing on. I really am.
I think it's all synonymous to itself in some ways. I mean, I can tell you how many women I would see in my boutique that had some sort of mental health around their bodies and around what they looked like. Mm. Like, oh man, I mean, I would have a goddamn degree in, you know, mental health right off the bat, just from that. So, you know, I would have a woman come in who was a size 2, who thought she was a size 12. I would have a woman who came in who was a size 12, 14, who thought she was a 24, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, so many women beat themselves up around their bodies, and it's, you know, whatever it is for you. Like, nobody probably in my life would ever guess that I've struggled with my own body size. Because I don't talk about it. I mean, maybe with my very, very, very intimately close friends. And you
it
know,
just became, but- it just became thousands of friends, because they're all listening to you right now. I think society does that. The whole model image, the whole TV actress image, the Kardashian image, all of this stuff. Women, yeah. Many women I know have this problem. They all feel like they have to constantly look right, you know, and it doesn't matter how you feel. It matters how you look, you know, that's the Hollywood thing.
It comes down to self-love. For me, it comes down to self-love. And I think, given our backgrounds and what we've already talked about, like, if you don't have self-love for yourself, if you don't feel like you are a good, worthy person, you're not going to like the way what you look in the mirror. You're not going to like it.
You know, I mean, I'm men are like that too, because I constantly am, you know, I wear hats all the time because I don't like the fact that, you know, my hair is not what it used to be. You know, it's like I have the same problem that some women have looking in the mirror at their butts, you know, because that's what women seem to focus on a lot, how their ass looks. You know, that's a big thing with women. A lot of women I've known, I don't know, well, the girl with the perfect ass on the podcast over here doesn't have to worry about that. But, you know, there are women.
You think I have a perfect ass?
It's pretty nice. Okay. It's pretty nice. It's always, you know, it's up there, man. It's up there. Yes. But, you know, don't you think a lot of women think about that? Because I always get that impression.
Yeah. I can tell you right now that I struggle with my tits and my waist. And like, I never really had like perky, perfect boobs, right? Like, if you could see me right now, I'm going like this. Yeah,
I think you're a little bit off here. You like have a really good figure. I don't know what you're talking about right now, but okay. See what I mean? You don't know what other people think of you. Maybe people think like, what a dummy. He should just take his hat off. Who cares if he's lost?
I was just going to say the same thing to you.
It's like, I don't know. We don't know what people really think about us. I mean, the woman I'm seeing now, she doesn't give a shit, you know, which is great. You know, she doesn't care. And, you know,
And I will say to you, what I want to say though, is jump in here and say that I give a shit less now. Like, I'm one of the bigger girls in my friend group. All of my friends are like this, I swear to you. And it's really hard in that environment sometimes to compare yourself to your friends that have perfect little bodies, to me, you know. But I've, in my new single life, you know, in these last few years, as I've dabbled in, you know, meeting men and kind of having a better understanding what men are seeing when they look at me, you know, like, I was married for, I mean, so yesterday would have been my 22 wedding anniversary, 22nd wedding
Maybe
anniversary.
Maybe that's been triggering some of your emotions, you know?
What's interesting is, Steve, is maybe subconsciously, but for the first time in 4 years, I can tell you that I did not think about my wedding day. I didn't think about what I was doing at what hour. I didn't think about, you know, writing my vows and all the things that had happened that day. Like, it was a good day for me with that. I actually mourned more this relationship that's ended of my 3 years of this last 3 years than I mourned my wedding anniversary. And that's progress. That's
I get fucking that. Progress. That is, okay? That is, I get
and
it.
And I rejoice and I'm grateful for that, that I didn't think all day long about what stage of the day of our wedding day it was, which I have done in the past. And I'm grateful that I am at that place now. But where was I going with that? Because I was telling you something about that. But I did find my wedding rings. And I have had a lot of guilt around the idea of possibly selling them or, you know, reconfiguring them for my daughter in some capacity. And I've decided that I'm going to send them back to the family jeweler that we had and used who made my engagement ring. And I am going to get it valued.
Good for you.
And if it pays for my new stove and my new kitchen, so fucking be it.
Right on, sister. Do you want to talk about something else like music or film or fashion or one of those things?
Yeah. So I guess what I wanted to touch on today was the fact that I have a couple, you know, music things that I want to touch on for
me. I love music.
Yeah, me too. I think music is both of our happy places for sure. And I think knowing that we have that in us, you know, that makes us happy.
It's kind of how we met, you know, because of music
and fashion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you needed to do the style of a band I was managing. That's basically how we met, right?
Well, you came into my boutique.
Well, you were doing the style.
You came into my boutique and we built a friendship. And then that came from there because I wasn't styling musicians at all at that point. And I also...
Wait a minute. You knew me before you knew LEV?
I don't know. Did I?
Wow. I didn't realize that. I think you did.
I mean, to me, that's my memory is that I met you before. I met Ellie.
Wow. I deserve a lot more credit for that than I realized. Because you
certainly did.
Her two most iconic photos on the big stage were dresses that you designed for her. That were like,
you know, would you do me a favor? Could you print those out for me so I could hang them up in my office?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I don't have a printer here, but I can do that. I can take print them to Staples.
Or you could send them to me, and I have a printer, and I'd like to, especially now that we're doing videos.
I think I keep the I think they're on my phone. I turn my phone off, and I think they're on my phone. I think that's how much I love them. They're on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. Yeah.
I took the photos too. So I love the photos that I took of her. One when she was on, ESPN, you know?
Okay.
It was only 20 seconds that they showed
the band. Let's talk about Ellie. I mean, like LEV, and that's what I always call her. She's not Ellie. She's LEV.
LEV.
You know?
Yeah. Everyone calls her LEV.
I mean, to
maybe
me,
we can get her to listen to this show now that we're talking about you, LEV.
Doesn't she listen to the show?
She does, but you know, she's very busy. But you know, if I say, hey, we talked about you on the show, she'll listen. I hope.
I mean, I'll tell you, to know Ellie on a personal level and then to see her on stage rock out, I'll tell you, we definitely knew Ellie because you wanted to invite me to come see the band that you managed. And so I did. And that, me, I think, was what triggered I wanted to dress her because I was like, holy shit. The way she like gets on her knees and is like, ah, you know, I mean, it's like, she is just like a powerhouse of a musician and a woman at that. You know what I mean? It's like, she does the shit that men have done for years and years on stage, you know, as lead singers and musicians that play instruments, you know, it's like, I feel like what Jimi Hendrix used to do, Ellie does too, you know?
By the way, we're talking about Ellie V from The Charms, because I don't think we mentioned the band, The Charms. She was the singer. They're on a hiatus because Ellie and Joe, the guitar player, got married and they had two kids, a daughter named Josie, which right. we have talked about on the podcast, and Preston. So they're kind of like on a hiatus, if anyone's
really wondering. So because, do they want to get back to it someday?
Well, there's seven Charms records out there, so please go on Spotify, go on the internet, you can find the records, you can buy the digital downloads, you can probably find some CDs in stores. So just to give the band a little plug.
Yeah. And I mean, you use the word hiatus. That's a big word.
Oh, that by the way, the Charms are not completely done because I totally forgot about this. There's a Mark Bolan T-Rex double album coming out with all covers of T-Rex songs. The Charms are going to be on it. And the money that's being raised from this is going to supply water for these villages in Africa. I'll get more info on that. It's something that we just worked out recently, and the paperwork's not even completely done, but it's going to happen. And because they have a song that they did by T-Rex, and it's going to be on that compilation. So they're not completely gone yet.
Forgive me, because I don't know who T-Rex is. Who's T-Rex?
Mark Bolan, you know, Bang a Gong, Get It On. Bang a Gong, you know it. You know the song. If you like, heard it, you know it. Bang a Gong, Get It On. Well, I don't know why I can't sing it right now. I'm having a mental block, but it's very...
Okay. I'm excited to hear that. That's such a cool thing.
So what are you listening to these days, Sibling?
Yeah. So my kiddo, once again, has introduced me to some music that I thought was pretty cool. There's a guy named J-V-K-E, and I think he goes by Jake, and he has a song called Golden Hour. And I don't know, it definitely did not come out of my playlist. So Josie was listening to it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, didn't she turn you on to Billie Eilish and Olivia Rodrigo too?
Yes. Yeah.
There you go.
Listen, I mean, I got a 10-year-old who's like in the mainstream world of music, and she, you know, one thing that I don't know if we've ever really quite talked about, but there's never a moment it's not music on, generally speaking.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
If I had a daughter, my daughter would be like that.
Yeah. Yeah, she would. She definitely would. And I mean, she's really into music, and, you know, both her parents are really into music and her dad's a musician. And so, you know, she has really good taste, you know, and I've introduced her to Tom Petty and Bob Marley and, you know, Prince, and she knows them to hear a song. She would be like, oh, mom, that's, you know.
Yeah, she must know Gary Clark Prince. Too by now. Gary Clark Jr., excuse me.
I don't think she would know Gary Clark out of all the ones that I've just listed. Like, she definitely knows Elvis. And her dad plays a lot of music for her too. So in any case, she introduced me to this guy, Jake, who is a white guy who does not sound like a white guy. And he's young, and I don't know exactly how long he's been around, but he has a song called Golden Hour, and I really enjoy it.
Nice.
And then the other thing I would say, I'm really into Girl on Fire by Alicia Keys. Like, if I need a boost, I'm going to put on that song and sing it at, you know, 11, because like, it gets me pumped up. I listened to it on the way here, actually, on the way home from my workout. And I would also say that while I was folding clothes, trying to prepare for this goddamn move that I'm doing, I wanted to watch something that would inspire me. And recently somebody said that Pink reminds them of, I remind them of Pink, or Pink reminds them of me, blah, 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 whatever. And that the relationship between Pink and her daughter, Willow, I think is the daughter's name. And Pink and Willow reminded them of me and Josie. And so I was like, let me see what this is all about. And I am blown away by A, her work ethic, B, her relationship with her husband is really awesome. And they've been together like 21 years. He was a BMX bike guy, like
very big, famous
that scene. And he's like a stay-at-home dad. Like he takes care of the kids while she, you know, I mean, she's incredibly involved with her children. But like I've always known Pink, and I love her, some of her songs, but like I didn't know how she got where she got to. And I mean, I will say that that documentary was 100% about her children and being on the road and being on tour and, you know, how they manage it all. And it was exhausting, to be honest, to watch it, like how much she does in a day, but really awe inspiring. And the fact that she just seems really sure in her mental health and sure of herself, but also is just, she like, word I'm looking for. She definitely just knows what she wants to get out of motherhood and knows that it's not perfect and knows that, you know, she'll make mistakes and her kids will hate her at some point, and that's just normal. And she's kind of normalized that about parenthood in this documentary at the very least. And so I just feel super inspired by her. And that's what I'm going to go ahead and
she
say.
She donates a lot of money too, to big organizations like children's organizations, hospitals.
That's awesome to hear.
She's a really nice person. I've watched a lot of interviews. I've never met her, unfortunately, but she's got a great rep.
Exactly. I will say that she treats her musicians have been with her for years and years and years. She treats everybody like family. And she said, and this has been always my motto, I always have said, I treat others the way I would be treated. And that is what Pink does. And it's totally evident in this film. Like everybody looks so happy to be part of her team. And I think that if you talk to my previous employees and staff that I, my various, you know, businesses, they would, I would hope that they would say the same, because
I know someone that actually worked is, I don't, she might still, my friend Jessica, she worked with Pink for a long time. She was part of her road crew. I don't know exactly what she did, assistant tour manager or something like that, but she was with her for a long time. So,
and she says the same thing about her.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been listening to older stuff lately. PJ, I bought a PJ Harvey 4-track demos album, and I've always liked Pauly Jean Harvey. And I've been getting into a lot of old New York hardcore stuff for some reason, which is the complete opposite of what you're listening to. Like, you know, like Gorilla Biscuits, Youth of Today, Sick of It All. You know, some of these old Shelter, which is was a Hare Krishna band, believe it or not, but they're a Krishna hardcore. I've been checking a lot of these guys out. This guy, Walter, he had a lot to do with a lot of these bands, and I really like them. Shreffels, Walter Shreffels, who's also in Quicksand and Rival Schools. And so I listen to all kinds of music, but for some reason I decided to just mention PJ Harvey and New York hardcore today. I got a lot of stuff on my film and TV list, though, for you. Lots.
Okay, talk to me about that.
Well, I told you I saw Dope Sick. I watched all episodes. It was a mini series, 8 episodes, and Michael Keaton ended up winning the Emmy for that. And Peter Skarsgård was great in it, and Mayor Winningham, who I actually met years ago when we worked on this movie, Hard Promises, together. A Sissy Spacek, William Peterson movie. And I remembered something that happened. Mare had a country thing she did, and she was playing at this club called At My Place in Santa Monica. And she invited us down, and I went down to see her. And then after the show, when I went backstage, who comes walking back there? And I got to meet, because of her, Sean Penn comes back. Woo! Smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer. It was really cool. This was like 1991-ish. And so that was a really hardcore, true story about, you know, how Purdue Pharma got everyone hooked on Oxy, horrible, but it was a good film, and I don't want to go too deep into the content of it. And I just watched Do Revenge, it's called, the film. Maya Hawke's in it, who was in also Stranger Things. I don't know if you know who Maya Hawke is, but she has two very famous parents. Her father is Ethan Hawke, and her mother is Uma Thurman. So she's got...
Wait a second, who... This girl in Stranger Things, is she Elle?
No, she was, I'd have to look up the name of the person she played. She worked in the movie theater with the guy that everyone liked. Let me see if I can.
Okay. I think I know who you're talking about. She's the older girl?
Well, she's pretty young. She's 24 actually now. But let's see, what did she play in Stranger Things? I'm sorry for all you Stranger Things fans out there that are saying, how can you not remember who she played in Stranger Things? Well, I'm sorry, I don't. Robin Buckley, she played Robin. She was in season 3 mostly, I believe. And was there a 4? Season 3 and 4. And anyway, she's really cool and she's really talented. So I watched this movie, Do Revenge. It was really good. And I also watched the old film the other night that is amazing. If you haven't seen it, it's called The Thomas Crown Affair. It's with Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway. It was filmed in Boston in 1968. And it's just great seeing Boston and Cambridge, what it looked like in 1968 compared to what it looks like now. And that's what I've watched lately.
Okay.
How's that? How about you? Cool. Besides the Pink documentary. I've watched myself move boxes up and down stairs, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not really into any. I mean, what did I start recently? Honestly, sadly, I've been watching a show called Arranged, trying to understand the whole arranged marriage thing. Because I just need to wrap my head.
OCD.
Oh God. Okay.
It's okay. Take it from someone who has OCD. It's fun. It's so much fun.
How long is this going to last for me? It's just really like, I need a distraction. I actually went back on the dating apps last night because I'm like, all right, fuck this with somebody else, because I've done a lot of self-work. I'm doing a lot of self, you know, help shit. And now I guess I just need somebody else to make me feel good about myself, because I'm focusing on shit that is not making me feel good about myself.
Have you ever tried crossing the aisle?
What the fuck is that?
You know, like maybe getting a little girlfriend or something, you know, crossing the aisle, you know, trying out something different, you know?
You know, swinging for the other team, you mean?
Yeah, why not?
I like a dick, dude.
Obviously, you send me a dick pic. God, I never even sent anyone a dick pic, but you're sending me dick pic. And we're right back where we started, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe it's a good time to just give the info and get out of town, Jack.
Oh, shit. No, I mean, I like a man. I don't think would I hook up with a woman like once, maybe, like if I was like wildly attracted to her personality and her, you know, her
and her boobs. I thought you were gonna say and her boobs.
No, I mean, I don't really need to suck on somebody else's tits. No, I'd rather somebody suck on mine. Thank you very much. You know, I don't think maybe I would kiss somebody just because they're a good kisser, but like, I don't think I'd be into going down on a woman. That just disgusts, that idea just is disgusting.
It has gone way farther than I thought it would go. Sorry.
You're asking me a question, so I'm answering it. Would you want to give a guy a blowjob?
That's not on my agenda these days, so. I understand what you're saying.
Whoa, he just said these days. Okay.
Hey, it's good to leave everything open. You know, my life's an open book. You know, I have no secrets about my life, you know?
So can we talk about what type of relationship you're in? Are you open with that or no?
I'm definitely in an open relationship. There's no question about that.
An E M-N or E-N-M?
Like Polly, you know, she's more Polly, I would say, you know, like she can, well, she can have
more. She is Polly. She has a husband, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't really want to have to come out and say that, but he knows all about us. So it's like, it's not a big deal.
Well, yeah. Obviously, like I just met with a guy last night that I didn't realize his profile said E-N-M or E-M-N, whatever the hell the thing is. And I definitely missed that, but I was like, hey, I want you to explain to me what it means. Like, maybe I would be into that. I don't know. Like, I don't need somebody right now that would be like, I don't want to be somebody's second. That's for damn sure. But I don't understand the whole ENM, but I also never felt that I could be with one person for the rest of my life.
I've got a really good idea. Now that we're doing Zooms and stuff, I have a friend. She's been on my show 3 times, and she's Polly. Maybe I can get her to come on the show. We can do a whole show about the Polly lifestyle, because I feel like I'd like to learn more about the mindset that goes along with it. And she could enlighten us if you want to do that.
Yeah. My friend Steve. Never mind.
We should probably go anyways. We've been talking for a long time because I've been watching that clock behind you.
I know. Is it even working?
Yeah, but look.
It's definitely not on the right time. But
I didn't give out the info last time, so I'm going to write now. You can write to us at seamscssr@gmail.com. And please check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/seamstome. And we have our Instagram page, seamstomesibsteve.
But wait, I was going to just give a little snippet on fashion.
Of course you were.
because we can't go without that. Okay, so I'm not super wowed by stuff right now. It seems all kind of fairly boring. Oversized open front knit sweater with pockets, blah, blah, blah. Who wants to wear that? 2-piece long sleeve pullover drawstring sweatpants. So like a matching, you know, matching little outfit.
I'm sorry, I jumped the gun.
Faux leather and leather. Faux leather and leather jackets are really like a trench coat or something with detail. Definitely leather. They're talking about leather a lot and faux leather. Elastic waist maxi skirt. That's one thing that I hadn't seen or heard yet. And actually, I love a long maxi skirt. And I love, you know, why would the hell would you wear anything but elastic waist skirts if you're going to wear a long maxi skirt? It needs to flow with your body and feel good. So that is something that I wanted to touch on because I think that's a good trend. A corduroy skirt. I love corduroy. Love, 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 love corduroy in the fall. This looks fabulous to me.
A little more in. We can't see it. There you go.
It's a
wow. Yeah, your listeners need to like go on YouTube to check out this corduroy skirt because it's hot.
It's a long, slightly A-line skirt with boots. Ooh, Steve's turned on by it. And it buttons down.
I kind of like the trench coat with nothing underneath it. That idea turned me on a little.
There,
yeah.
There you go.
Show up with a trench coat with nothing underneath and that would be hot. How's that?
Now that in the bedroom, that's a whole other thing. Have a little lingerie underneath.
Yeah, lingerie. Yeah, you can wear something. Stilettos.
And then do a little striptease with the trench. Yeah, my future man in my life will be excited by that one. Let's see what else. Oversized vest. That's cute. So, oops, somebody just texted me. Oversized vest. Yeah, interesting. It's a houndstooth vest. I don't know. That might not be for everybody, but it's a cute look. It has a white button-down shirt underneath it. Of course, the high knee, you know, boots are back, wouldn't they? And that's always fall. Oh God, what is this? Okay, we can't get rid of this cold shoulder idea. This is a sweater that has an opening in it on one shoulder. So it's exposing
just one shoulder.
Yeah, just one shoulder.
Make sure it's the ladies, make sure it's the shoulder with your tattoo.
That, don't you? It is a cashmere sweater with a cowl neck slash turtleneck, and it's got an open, don't get it. But it looks cute on her. Oh, ripped denim bib overalls. I do dig an overall faux show. And I've always wanted to rock the overall. I used to when I was, but anyway, we'll stop there. Let's call it the overalls. And I would say corduroy overalls would be badass. I would totally rock some corduroy overalls, especially like like orange or like a mushroom brown. That would be cool. The maxi long skirt, probably in black. This whole black and
a
white
mushroom thing what? Because I've been thinking about
mushroom brown.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing mushrooms lately.
I would join you to do mushrooms one more time.
I heard they're pretty good for mental health.
I always enjoyed my shrooming experiences. I really did. I would do that again one more time. And then okay. Maybe that one more time would lead to two more times. Who knows?
I guess they make chocolate mushrooms. So we'll have to.
Oh, man. I used to just go right in there and just take the caps and chew them up. Make tea. We used to just eat them up.
It tastes so bad, though.
I never minded the taste of it personally, but.
Okay.
I guess we end on shrooming corduroy overalls and corduroy skirts. And
we started with boots. We started with a dick pic and we ended with a mushroom.
Shrooming and dick pics.
Okay, tell me when to hit the stop button.
All right, Steve. It's always a pleasure. Mm-hmm. I love and adore you. And
I love you too.
We have so much more in common than we even ever realized.
We do. So I'll see you later with that trench coat. Bye.
And my stilettos. Bye.
So let the good times roll. Feel it in your soul. Take another round and let the good times roll.